near deafening, like 1,000 crazy woodpeckers attacking the suit. Why the hell do I put up with this crap, Gaeta wondered. Why am I spending my life getting the shit kicked out of me? Why don't I take whatever money I make out of this and retire while I've still got all my arms and legs? The classic answer rang in his head. What? And quit show business? He laughed aloud. And then it was over. As suddenly as it had started, it all disappeared, leaving Gaeta standing there inside the cumbersome suit, his ears ringing from the pounding bombardment. What are you laughing about? Fritz demanded. Gaeta replied, still grinning. I laugh at danger, Fritz. Don't you read my media releases? I think you wrote that line yourself. It took the better part of half an hour for them to refill the corridor section with air and for Gaeta to crawl out of the suit. Fritz inspected it minutely, going over every square centimeter of the hulking suit with a magnifying glass. Dimpled, but not penetrated, was Fritz's estimation. Then we can go as planned. Yes, I believe we can. Gaeta's handheld buzzed. He flicked it open and saw Nadia Wunderlich's face on the minuscule screen. If you're worried about the test... No, 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 she said, brimming with excitement. I just had to tell you right away. You're the luckiest guy in the solar system. What do you mean? There's going to be a capture event, Wunderlich was almost shouting. 3 days after we arrive in orbit, Saturn's going to capture an asteroid from the Kuiper Belt. What? What do you mean? Slow it down a little. Manny, a small chunk of ice-covered rock is approaching Saturn from deep in the Kuiper Belt, out beyond Pluto. It's already fallen into Saturn's gravity well. I've done the calculations. It's going to fall into orbit around Saturn smack in the middle of the A-ring, 3 days after we arrive in orbit outside the rings. 3 days? Fritz asked, looking over Gaeta's shoulder at Wunderlich's ecstatic face. Yes. If you delay your excursion for 3 days, you can be there when the capture takes place.
Book 3. I agree in regarding as false and damnable the view of those who would put inhabitants on Jupiter, Saturn, and the Moon, meaning by inhabitants, animals like ours, and men in particular. If we could believe, with any probability, that there were living beings and vegetables on the Moon or any planet, different not only from terrestrial ones but remote from our wildest imaginings, I should, for my part, neither affirm it nor deny it, but should leave the decision to wiser men than I. Galileo Galilei, Letters on Sunspots, the 1st of December, 1612.
Saturn arrival minus 4 days. Controlled frenzy, Eberle decided. That's what this is, controlled frenzy. Since being named deputy director of the Habitat, Eberle had moved his election campaign headquarters out of his apartment and into a vacant warehouse space in the Cairo village. It was large enough to house his growing staff of campaign volunteers and their even faster-growing sets of computers and communications equipment. He seldom visited the headquarters, preferring to stay aloof from his foot soldiers. The less they see of me, he reasoned, the more they appreciate my rare visits to them. This evening before election day was one of those rare visits. Sure enough, the dozens of volunteers swarmed around Eberle as soon as he stepped through the warehouse's big double doors. They were beaming at him, especially the women. He allowed himself to be shown around the makeshift workbenches and shook hands with each and every volunteer. He wore his best smile. He assured them that tomorrow's election would be a smashing triumph for them. They smiled back and agreed that we can't lose, and by this time tomorrow you'll be the top man. Eberle disengaged from them at last, and let Morgenthau lead him to the small private office that had been partitioned off in the far corner of the warehouse space. He had specified that the office should be enclosed by true walls that reached the high ceiling, not merely shoulder-high dividers, and the walls should be soundproofed. Viborg was sitting behind the desk in the office when Morgenthau shut the door behind Eberle, Kananga in the chair next to a bank of computer consoles. Both men got to their feet. It's going well, Viborg said as Eberle approached the desk. Never mind that, he snapped. What about Holly? Have you found her?
Not yet, Kananga replied.
It's been 2 weeks.
This habitat is very large, and I have only a limited number of people to search for her. I want her caught. She will be. I've staked out all the places where she can obtain food. We'll find her sooner or later.
Make certain she's dead, Viborg said.
Eberle frowned at that, thinking,
They all profess to be believers, but they don't even blink at the thought of murder. And they want to make me a party to their crimes. Then they'll have an even stronger hold over me. Morgenthau wondered, what if she surrenders herself in some public place? She might be clever enough to show up at the cafeteria at lunchtime and offer to turn herself in. Eberle actually shuddered. If she starts talking, everything we've worked for could be ruined.
But she's been neutralized, Vyborg countered. I've seen to it that everyone believes she's a dangerous lunatic.
With a shake of his head, Eberle replied, no matter what the people believe, if she decides to start blabbing in public, it could upset the election. It could throw the election to Urbain, or even Timoshenko. Tonight is the crucial time, then, Morgenthau said. By this time tomorrow, the election will be over. I want her found tonight. It would be good, Vyborg said, almost in a whisper, if she were found dead. Kananga nodded. I'll put the entire security force on it. Has she any allies? Eberle asked. Any friends that she might turn to for help? Vyborg said, she phoned Dr. Cardenas. Well, that was 2 weeks ago, said Morgenthau. And only once, added Kananga. It was too brief for us to catch her. Cardenas. Eberle suddenly saw the way to catch Holly. She phoned the nanotech expert. Yes. Morgenthau saw the gleam in his eye. Do you think... A nanobug threat, said Eberle. Turning to Vyborg, he commanded, put out the news that Holly might be harboring dangerous nanomachines. Make it sound as if she's a threat to the entire habitat, a nano-plague. Then every person in the habitat will be on the lookout for her. Kananga, you'll have 10,000 people searching for her. The Rwandan laughed delightedly. Vyborg nodded and scampered to the desktop comm unit. As he began dictating a news bulletin, Eberle turned to Morgenthau. So much for our fugitive. Now, what are the latest election predictions? He expected her to give him a rosy forecast for the election. Instead, her smile faded and a cloud of doubt darkened her chubby face. We may have created a Frankenstein monster in this engineer Timoshenko, Morgenthau said, turning toward the computer bank. She called up the latest projection, and the multicolored chart appeared against the bare office wall. The blue represents our votes, said Morgenthau. The red is Urbain's, and the yellow is Timoshenko's. We're well ahead, said Eberle. Yes, but there's a disturbing trend. The chart shifted, colors melting or growing. If Timoshenko's people throw their support to Urbain, they could beat you. Why would they do that? Morgenthau shrugged heavily. I don't know why, but it's happening. Urbain has picked up nearly 20% of the voters who were solidly in Timoshenko's camp only a few days ago. According to your analyses, said Eberle, which are based on extensive polls by our volunteers out there, she pointed toward the door. I may be overly alarmist, but it might be possible for Urbain to pick up enough of Timoshenko's votes to win tomorrow. Eberle stared hard at the chart, as if he could force the numbers to change by sheer force of will. He kept his face immobile, trying to hide the anger and terror churning in his gut. I could lose. And then where would I be? They'll take me back. Put me back in prison. He barely heard Morgenthau's voice. Cancel the election. Your deputy administrator now, Wilmot's been neutralized. Cancel the election and set up the government on your own authority. And have three-quarters of the population rebel against me? Eberle snarled at her. If they do, said Kananga, you'll have the perfect excuse to establish martial law. Then we could control everyone, Morgenthau agreed. I had the blueprints for neural probes beamed here from Earth. Once martial law is established, we could arrest the troublemakers and implant them with neural controllers. It would be just what we want. Except that the people would hate me, Eberle thought. They would scheme against me. They'd work night and day to overthrow me. No, he said flatly. I can't rule these people by force or by turning them into useless zombies. You wouldn't need neural implants, said Kananga, drawing himself up to his full height. I could make certain that they obey you. And make me dependent on you, Eberle answered silently. I want these people to respect me, to follow me out of admiration and respect. I want them to love me the way those volunteers outside love me. No, he repeated, I must win this election legally.